Salvation is free. Amen? No need to do something, no need to do good things, no need to join religion, no need to be baptized in order to be saved. Because salvation is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, just receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. But in verse 14, it says here, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to thy throne of grace this evening. Thank you, Lord, for this great and wonderful opportunity you have given us to study thy word and to worship thee in spirit and in truth in this place. Lord, use me as a channel of blessing. I know that I'm not good in English. Sometimes they may not understand me because of my accent. Especially in this country, you have a lot of dynamic preachers, good preachers. But Lord, we know that you are God of no respect of person. Use me also to be a channel of blessing, putting the right words to my lips that will meet the needs of thy people. Speak to us in a very special way, and let the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and magnified in our midst. For this is our prayer in Christ's most precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Paul stated his heart's desire. When he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. A desire. What is your heart's desire? It's about time to evaluate our heart's desire. We know that God honors our heart's desire. In Psalms 37 verse 4, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In order that God will grant our heart's desire, in order that God will answer our heart's desire, the only requirements that God is asking us to be happy with him. Amen? Delight, that means to be happy. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Are you happy in the Lord? Amen? We Christians supposed to be, we have all the joy and the happiness in this world because we have Christ. Amen? Sad to say, I can see some Christians also that it seems that they can have a smile in their face. Especially when we come to church, sometimes we cannot even have a smile in our face. But the Lord wants us to be happy with him. Amen? Amen? That's why God saved you and God saved me with a purpose. Did you imagine there are many billions of people in this world why God chose you to be saved? We have 110 million people in the Philippines. But you know, I'm just one of those 1 million, 110 million, that God chose to save me. Because God wants us to be a display, to be a pedestal. Amen? He wants us to set as an example. A display, a pedestal. Even here, you have many malls. If you go to malls, you can find a lot of display. One time, the first time I came here in 1990, we went to Parkersburg, West Virginia, a big mall. Okay? And that item on that display did attract me. So I look around and see that item. For a few minutes, I was there standing looking for that item. And then I asked that sales lady, ma'am, I want that display, that item on display. How much is that? You know, she smiled at me and she said, no, sir, that's not for sale. It's only for display. But I will give you the same item, but not on that display. You know what? God put you in your place to be a display. to be a pedestal. Amen? That they may see people around us, especially those not yet Christians, that they may see the beauty and the happiness of a Christian. Amen? I can still remember when Napoleon Bonaparte was forming his army. A young boy coming in shouting, riding in a white horse. He was shouting, coming in, waving his hand. And he said, "Oh, Napoleon!" When he came close to Napoleon, this young boy said, "Oh, Napoleon, you are so great. I admire you so much. You are a great warrior. But you know, sir, my name is also Napoleon." Then Napoleon tapped the shoulder of this young boy and said, "Young boy, if your name is also Napoleon, then live like Napoleon or else change your name." Christians, that is so. Amen? If we are really Christians, then live like a Christian or else don't claim that you are a Christian. Amen? We must be a Christian the way we talk, the way we dress, amen, the way we live. Not only in church. Sad to say, there are many Christians, they are only like a Christian inside the church. But when they go back to their home places, sad to say, it seems that they are not Christian. God wants us to be as an example, to be a display, to be a pedestal, a heart's desire. What is your heart's desire? You know, I had a young man in my first church in Tarlac. In the late 80s, he was really a good man. He was my chairman of my deacon. He got that charisma to lead people. And I said to myself, all these men will become a pastor someday. I'm training him to be a pastor. He led a lot of people. But you know, one day, he got a desire in his heart. So he started not to come to church anymore, even though he was a deacon. So for two consecutive Sundays, he did not show up. So I decided to visit him after the church service. And I talked to him and to find out what's the problem. And you know, he said to me, "Okay, Pastor, I'm sorry. My resignation letter is ready. I really want to submit my resignation letter." And he said, "I want to resign as a deacon because I cannot perform my duty. I cannot attend the church anymore. You know what, Pastor? Because I got a desire in my heart. I started a business and my desire is to be a millionaire. Before I will reach the age of 42, that I will have a million." And I talked to him. We have a long period of minutes in talking. I'm trying to advise him, even though you will start a business, no problem. God will bless you so much if you will going to put first a God in your life. But he said, "I'm sorry, Pastor, because I really want to expand this business because I cannot attend church anymore because I'm dealing, you know, with unchristians. And I'm a dealer of liquor, wine, and beverages. So I'm sorry." So I left him, and I felt so sad with him. You know, after 3 years, he became a millionaire at the age of 42. You know what happened after he got his million? One night, while having a drinking session with his friends, he died with a heart attack. He got his million. But you know what happened after he got his million? He died. After he died, his wife and her second husband enjoyed the million. Sometimes we have a desire in our hearts that are illegitimate. So friends, it's about time to evaluate our heart's desire. What is your heart's desire? To be rich, to become well-known, to accumulate more wealth in this world. I still remember the Lord Jesus spake a parable in this passage in Luke chapter 12, if you may. Luke chapter 12, I will read beginning 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Until then, there's no wrong with us. There's no something wrong in earning money as much as you can, as long as you earn it in a God's way, in a proper way, in an honest way. Amen? But he got a mistake when he said here in verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Many people are like that, are like this man in this world. They are focused, their mind is always focused on these material things on earth, that they will not last. Amen? That's why the Bible says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I rather choose to be poor in this world, but rich toward God. Are you rich toward God? Amen? That's why there's a song that says, only what's done for Christ will last. All in this world are just temporal. They will not last. Amen? Probably you know President Ferdinand Marcos. He ruled the Philippines for more than 20 years. They said he got all the wealth of the Philippines. He was a wealthy man. But when he died, he left everything. Amen? God will tell us that we are fool if we aren't just focusing our mind on these material things on earth. Are you rich toward God? Are you investing in eternity? The things that we do here for God, we are investing in eternity. Amen? So he said in verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possess. A lot of people are covetous. They want more, more, more. But friends, even in Mark 8:36, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That man that I'm telling you, he traded Christ for his business. Some people are just trading also God or their service to the Lord to another thing. But beloved, if we are really Christian, then make God our first priority. Amen? So Paul stated his heart's desire. Why? That's why I can say, beloved in the Lord, the greatest heart's desire of a man is to win the loss. That is the greatest heart's desire of a man, to win the loss. Because Apostle Paul said, why? Because the condition of his people. He said in verse 2, if you may, once again in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, it says here, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's the condition of our people. Not only here in this country, especially in the Philippines, that's the condition of our people. You can see, you know, 86% are Roman Catholic. Even Sunday morning, even those rich people because they have zealousness in serving God. You can see them from the door of the front door of the, their church. They have huge building also. You can see them kneeling, coming to the pulpit, hoping in doing that they may gain the favor of God. During Lenten season, majority you can see them walking on the streets, carrying heavy crosses. Some are really nailing themselves on top of the cross, cutting their backs with blade, bleeding, walking on the streets, hoping in doing that, their sin will be forgiven. They have zealousness, but the Bible says, zealousness without knowledge is fanaticism. That's the condition of our people. That's why God gave me a desire in my heart for my own people. Because I know them that even though they have a zealousness in their heart, but they have, you know, not according to the will of God, not according to the knowledge of God, when they die, they will go to hell. Especially my dad and my mom, they have zealousness in serving God. They don't accept money during that time. A lot of people, when they're rich people will come and if they be healed, they are offering a lot of money. But my dad did not accept any single money. Because what he think that he's doing for God. God gave this free to me, then I will give it free. If only my dad did accept money during the time, probably we are the most richest people in the Philippines. He got that zealousness. But when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I learned that his zealousness is not according to the knowledge of God. So friends, that's the condition of our people. Even here in this country, those not yet Christians, you know, they don't accept the righteousness of God. They don't submit their righteousness. Some people are, you know, self-righteous. But we must submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. Not only that, not only because of the condition of his people, but because of the value of a soul. In Luke chapter 15, if you may, the value of a soul. Luke chapter 15, in verse 10, it says here, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented." Amen? The Bible did not say over a million souls that repented, heavens rejoice. The Bible did not say over a thousand souls that repented, heavens rejoice. But the Bible says even a single soul that repented, heavens rejoice. Amen? Amen. You know, a poor Filipino like me can influence heavens to rejoice by bringing even a single soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We cannot influence heavens to rejoice by singing the choir, that which is good. We cannot influence heavens to rejoice by preaching the best message, that which is good. But we can only influence heavens to rejoice by bringing even a single soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many years you are Christians already? Have you been Christian? Have you experienced to make heavens rejoice in bringing even a single soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? Sad to say, sometimes you can find a lot of Christians, sometimes they are Christians for so long, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, but they never led even a single soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. The value of a soul. That's why the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The Lord Jesus Christ did not say, first at Jerusalem. Amen? Some pastors, churches, they thought that they have responsibility in their Jerusalem. Oh, we have also responsibility in our community, in our area. Yes, you have responsibility. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, both. Amen? That means we have the same responsibility in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's why the first church in Jerusalem experienced a lot of persecution because they kept intact Jerusalem. They have forgotten their Judea, their Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. That's why in Acts chapter 8, if you may, in Acts chapter 8, beginning verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They were scattered abroad. Why? Because they kept intact at Jerusalem. Who were scattered abroad? The apostles? No, the apostles remained at Jerusalem. But those ordinary Christians, ordinary believers, were scattered abroad. Then in verse 4, it says here, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Amen? That's why God allowed that great persecution so that they may scatter abroad and preach the gospel. That's why we are instructed, we are commanded to reach our Judea, not only our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, but unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen? So beloved, that's the desire of Apostle Paul. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Not only because of the condition of his people, not only because of the value of a soul, but because of the destiny of a soul. Amen? You know, when I was in satanic worship, I believe, and what my dad did put in my mind that there is no literal hell, there is no literal heaven. Don't believe that there is hell and heaven. He said, hell and heaven are in this world. If you are rich, you have everything, you have a beautiful wife, then you are already in heaven. So praise the Lord, God gave me a beautiful wife, so I enjoyed heaven already. But he said, when you are poor, you got a lot of problems, especially when you have an ugly husband, then you are already in hell. But beloved in the Lord, when I got saved, when I studied the word of God, I came to know that there is a literal hell and literal heaven. Amen? Amen. Hell is real. Hell is a specific place. And hell is a place of torment. And those people who are now in hell are crying for mercy. They are crying for pain. But even though every day, every hour, and every minute of the day, they will cry and cry for the mercy of God, they may not receive the mercy of God anymore because it's too late. It's too late. Christians, did you realize that hell is not a joke? Maybe you have loved ones, one member in your family, one of your relatives are not yet saved. Did you realize that hell is not a joke? Do our best to win them for Christ before it's too late. Before it's too late. I can say to you, beloved in the Lord, as I said before, you must thank God and appreciate for what you have here in America. Because God bless you so much in this country. Not like in our country. You know, here you have a lot. You have a lot of food that are being junk. You have a lot of things that are being waste. But you know, in our country, I have children's ministry. I do feeding ministry. Every time I feed those children, we can gather more than 100 children. We can just feed them a little rice and soup. For almost $1, you can feed one child for a good meal in the Philippines. Because you can see, especially in those Islam areas, you can find a lot of children scattered on the street, trying to find something to eat. They are begging. But here you have a lot. Sometimes I can say that your pets, especially your dogs, have more better food than our people. And yet, you're just taking for granted in serving God. There's self-complacence. When we have so much, sometimes there's self-complacence. That's why the Bible says also, a blessing, instead to become really a blessing, sometimes it will become a curse when we don't know how to thank God and appreciate and use it for God. I hope you have all the means to serve God better in this country. You have beautiful buildings. You have cars. Sometimes in a family, the husband has his own car. The wife has her own car. Your children have their own car. But you know, in our country, in more than 200 members of my church, you can see almost just two families have a car. Majority are coming to church walking. I have two elderly ladies. The eldest is 92 years old. But she kept on coming to church. She's really faithful. But you know, every time when they come to church, they just walk almost 1.5 mile away, walking under the heat of the sun. When they come to church sweating, one day I asked them, "Mom, why do you need to walk under the heat of the sun when you come to church sweating? If you don't have any money, just ride on those public transportation. When you got here, I can pay your fare." So, you know, they look at me and they smile and said, "No, Pastor, don't worry. We can make it." Actually, my youngest daughter, she's always giving me money for my transportation in coming to church. But Pastor, I can still walk. I don't want to spend this money for myself. So that when that offering plate will pass, I have something to put on that offering plate, that God may use it in the ministry. So friends, you have so much here. I hope you can serve better in this country. Amen? Amen. If America will not be awakened, I heard a lot of preachers already, America is turning from God already, turning back from God. America is not the same America before. As they said, some of the American preachers, they said, before we are sending missionaries into all the world. But America will be awakened someday. We need a missionary in our country to start work in this country. I hope God will speak to you tonight. I hope that you may see the great needs of the mission. Thank you so much, and God bless.